You are listening to the podcast of Grace Bible Church Ann Arbor. We are the rescued people of God joining His great restoration project. More information, including sermons in this series, can be found at graceatu.org. Thanks so much for tuning in.
We are going to talk about exactly how we are supposed to deal with our parents. Like, is there some rule, whether you are 3 or 13 or 53, that leads us to act a certain way toward our parents? And is that rule in place if our parents are super present and honorable or maybe not? Stick with me and let's see what we can find out today. About a month ago, something happened in a professional golf tournament that I'm sure has happened before, but frankly, I haven't watched very much golf, so I'd never seen it happen. A golfer named Richard Bland hit a wonderful second shot from a difficult position up onto the green where he would have a good chance of two-putting his way toward a par. Only as the ball was bouncing and rolling up towards the hole, something, an opponent, got in his way. Now that day, trees and the wind and sand traps have wreaked havoc on golfers' scores. Only for Bland, it was something very, very different. As his ball bounced up towards the green, there in the fairway was a squirrel that watched and tracked his ball as it went. The squirrel took a few happy bounces right along with the ball, put out its paw, and stopped the ball from continuing to roll, and seemingly knocked the ball so that it actually rolled back off of the green. From a far more difficult position, he, Bland, was going to have to try to hit up and score to get par. Now, I don't know if you know anything about golf, and again, I don't know very much, but what do you think should have happened in that situation? What would the rule be for something like that? If a creature gets in the way of your shot, should the ball be placed where it was or where it was going to go before it was interfered with, or should it be placed back farther where the squirrel knocked it? Well, it turns out that there are a couple rules that are sort of related to that situation. None of those rules say anything about creatures or rodents or squirrels, and yet it turns out, after consulting with a rules expert, that the ball had to be placed back where the squirrel had knocked it. And from that position, Bland ended up getting a bogey on the hole rather than a par. As strange of a sight as that instance was to see, it is not that unusual for golfers, even professional golfers, those who know what all the rules are of the game, seemingly, it's not unusual for them to call out a rules expert to try to help them understand their specific situation. They know the rules, but sometimes it's difficult for them to know how to apply those rules to their particular situation. Today, we are going to be talking a little bit about a rule for dealing with parents. Now, maybe some of you have actually heard this rule before at some point along the way, but the reality is it can be difficult to know how that rule applies to our particular situations. And so today we're going to look at an ancient letter that was written a couple thousand years ago, and it was written by a man who was a rules expert. His name was Paul, and he literally spent his life studying the Old Testament law, or the rules, if you will. He was somebody who knew the rules incredibly well and then tried to live his life according to those rules. As brilliant as he was, though, it wasn't until he had a dramatic vision that he realized that there was only one person ever who could fulfill all of those rules, those laws, and that person was Jesus. And Jesus came to live out those rules perfectly, to give his life sacrificially, so that all of us who are rule breakers might be offered this opportunity to be saved. And so in the letter that we're going to look at today, this man, Paul, this rules expert, talks about how if you have faith in Jesus, it is supposed to, well, change the way that you interact with your family members. Now, for many of the people to whom he was speaking, he had shared some really good news that whether they had come from a very conservative Jewish background or maybe a very pagan Greek background, whether their skin was darker or lighter, they were richer or poorer, whether they were married or single, that they, through faith in Christ, had been given a brand new identity, that they were now new creations, not just a result of the family, the tribe that they had been born into, but they were made new people who were given a new heavenly father. But imagine if you weren't part of a church growing up your whole life, and maybe this is easier for some of you to imagine. And imagine if you came to faith and you were the only person in your entire household who came to believe in Jesus. It might be difficult to know, okay, so now how am I supposed to interact with these people in my house? I mean, if you thought, okay, I'm now a new person. I have this new family of faith. I even have a new heavenly father. Well, then how are you supposed to like interact with your earthly father or mother or siblings or even children if you're the only person who knows about Jesus in your house? And so there were these moments, these situations where even if they kind of felt they knew what the rules were, they didn't know if it really applied to them in their new circumstances. Have you ever heard of some law that's still on the books that's sort of strange and you're like, wait, that doesn't apply anymore? In Florida, apparently, it's illegal for an unmarried woman to parachute on a Sunday. In Arizona, donkeys may not sleep in bathtubs. In Indiana, mustaches are illegal if the bearer has the habit of kissing other human beings. Now, we hear those kinds of rules and we think those don't make any sense. Well, maybe the mustache one does. Nobody wants to get kissed by that guy. But in general, we think, well, those were old rules, old laws. That was a different time. Those things don't really apply anymore. And so it's possible that some of these early Christians in Ephesus, which was in modern day Turkey, that they thought maybe these old rules that we had heard about before don't apply anymore. And so they had this rules expert named Paul to speak into their specific situation and help them understand exactly what to do. So we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 6 to see what Paul says about dealing with parents. Now, take a peek at the verses up on the screen. You're going to notice that, well, there's one word in parentheses. That's my addition to the text in kind of interpreting what that first word is. And then there's a couple of big blanks in here because I want us to think about for a second what words might be put into those blanks. Like, how would people in our day and age fill out these verses? Okay, so it says younger children and then a big blank, your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then verse 2, blank, your father and mother, this is the first commandment with the promise that it may go well with you and you may live long in the land. Now, for some of us, maybe we know these verses or we've heard this before somewhere, and so our minds are already filling in the blanks. But I want us to think just for a second about what words could make sense here. This last week, I was at some awards assemblies and graduation, and so I heard different people giving their speeches right at the end of the year to seniors in high school. And they all did a great job, you know, it was good, but there were a couple themes that came out, and some of the themes like reaching for the stars or being kind or finding your authentic self, you know, things like that that you hear at those speeches, those things came out. And so I was trying to imagine how might, I don't know, people in our world fill in the blanks to these verses for this rule for dealing with parents. I could imagine it might sound like this. Children, be true to yourself and be nice to your parents, for this is right. Love your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. I mean, that sounds pretty good, right? Be true to yourself and be nice. And then love your father and mother. I mean, that almost even sounds biblical. And yet, that's not exactly what we find here. In fact, we find out all over the Bible that we are called to love. We're called to love God, right, with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We're called to love our neighbor as ourselves. We're called to love the stranger, meaning the person who might be in need. We're called to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. And so it would make sense to think that here the Bible commands us to love your father and mother, which brings us to our Bible nerd question and word of the day. Here's the question, and I would love for somebody to help me out with this. Does the Bible ever command us to love our parents? Now, if you can find that, please send me that verse. But as I was doing some homework on this, I couldn't find a text that told us that we were supposed to love our parents, which seems crazy when you consider all the other texts that command us to love all these other people and, of course, to love God. So what is going on here? Well, here, the word isn't love your parents. The rule that we are given, kind of the overarching rule, which is actually in verse 2, it uses the word tima'o, which is to estimate, to fix the value, to revere, to venerate, or to honor. So the main rule that Paul gives us for dealing with our parents is that we are to honor our father and mother. Now, he took this directly from the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament, and he's now applying it to this new group of people saying, that still holds. You must honor your parents. If you have parents, you honor them. All children to all parents. Now, again, I know what some of you might be thinking. You're thinking, yeah, but how does that relate to me? Because, see, a squirrel got in the way of the golf ball. You know, my parents are not honorable. Or maybe my parents have passed on. Or maybe my parents aren't even present in my life in any way. Or maybe, hey, I'm only 8. I don't even really know what honor is even all about. Well, like, what am I supposed to do? So it is hard sometimes for us to know how to apply the rule of honor to our individual situations. And so I want to talk about younger child honor for a couple minutes, and then older child or adult children honor for a few minutes. So let's start first with younger child honor. Verse 1 is actually Paul being very specific about what honor is supposed to look like for younger children. The word translated here as children, again, it really means younger children. That's why I put that word there in parentheses. And as you see in verse 1, what it says is not be true to yourselves, be nice to your parents. It says, younger children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. What honor looks like for younger children is obedience to their parents. When our kids were young, we had this saying, which was, you obey the first time and every time. And then it got shortened to first time and every time, which meant that as soon as I asked them to do something, I didn't want to have to ask them multiple times, and I didn't want to have to ask them tomorrow to do the same thing that I've always done. I wanted them to just obey the first time and every time we gave them some directive. Now, as our kids have gotten older, of course, that saying has fallen out of favor in our house because they need to understand things a little bit differently. But when kids are young, the number one way they are called to honor their parents is obedience. Now, I'm sure this video is a hit with all the 8-year-olds who are watching it to hear that. But listen, we have all seen what it looks like, whether it's on a playground or in a classroom or in a home or at church, where kids are not obeying their authority structure, specifically their parents. We have all seen that happening when someone is just doing the whole, well, boys will be boys and she's just a free spirit. No, these boys and girls are supposed to be grown into good men and women. And part of the way they get there is by learning as children to obey their parents. That is what honor looks like. But why? Why should children obey their parents? Should they obey their parents because their parents are wiser than they are and they just know better? Well, I hope that most of the time that's the case, that a parent is in fact wiser, and so the child can obey them knowing that they're wiser, but that's not always going to be the case, right? There could be incredibly foolish parents and really bright kids. So should they obey their parents because they're so grateful to their parents for all that their parents have provided them? Well, again, hopefully they are grateful and their parents have provided for them incredibly, but what if their parents are kind of negligent? Then does that still apply? Well, should they obey their parents because there's some sort of mystical connection and blood relations? Well, then what about an adopted child? Shouldn't they still obey? And doesn't Paul tell us that the blood of Jesus is really the blood that matters? So then why should children honor their parents through obedience? Well, Paul tells us why. Why? What he says is, because it's right. It is right. There's something fundamentally right about young children obeying their parents. There is an order intrinsic in God and His creation where things have a place where it just fits. and it is right for children to obey. It's a little bit like if there's a person in an orchestra who is playing their instrument, who's actually the smartest, best musician in the world, and yet there is a conductor giving the direction. That person in the orchestra needs to, in order to make the music right, obey what the director is telling them. It's like an NFL player who's listening to their coach who might not be nearly as strong or as fit or whatever, but it is, if the play is going to go right, they need to obey the play call. So Paul says, it is right. This is how, in fact, young children honor their parents, by obedience. It's right when we obey, and when we do so, we're actually mirroring Jesus, who was obedient to his Father, even unto death. It is right because when we learn to obey that someone who's above us in our home, we are creating in us a default setting that will be more likely to obey that someone above us in heaven. That even when there's times we don't understand what our Heavenly Father is telling us to do, we will learn, if we can learn as kids to obey our parents, we can become better at obeying our Heavenly Father. Herman Bavinck writes, a person's becoming human occurs within the home. Here the foundation is laid for the forming of the future man and woman, of the future father and mother, of the future member of society, of the future citizen, of the future subject of the kingdom of God. The seeds of who we become are sown and nurtured in the trenches of the parent-child relationship where we learn to obey. Now, obedience is what young child honor looks like, but it has to grow up because it's possible for children to obey their parents and still not honor them. Right? It has to start with obedience, but it must mature into full-blown honor. One of the best examples of the difference between obedience and honor that I can remember is something that happened to a good friend of mine. His youngest child, his son, was having an issue where he was wetting his bed at night. And he was old enough, this little boy, to not be wetting the bed. And so they were trying to figure out, is there something going on? Like, is he anxious about something? Is there a physical something? And they couldn't figure out what it might be. And so they started to think, you know what? We think maybe he's just being obstinate. Maybe he just doesn't want to get up and go to the bathroom or something like that. And so they began to try to work with him to get him to just go to the bathroom at night. But eventually, they came to this point, and I'm not saying this is a good parenting, I'm just saying this is what they did, where they threatened their kid and they said, look, you have to, if you feel the need to go to the bathroom, just get up and go to the bathroom or else we're going to have to punish you. We might even spank you. Like, we have to punish you. We can't let this keep going. And so the next night, my friend heard his son up in the hallway of their house. And so he went up there and he said, hey, buddy, what are you doing standing here in the hallway? And the kid was all kind of wet. And he said, nothing. And the dad said, well, did you pee in your bed? And this little boy, remembering what this threat was, said, no, I didn't pee in my bed. And it turned out that he had gotten up, went into his parents' room, and had peed in their bed. And so did he obey? Well, in a way, because he didn't pee in his own bed, but in another way, he was completely dishonoring his parents. And so obedience for young children is the start point of honor, but it must mature if it's going to become true honor. And as we age, we know that we're no longer required to simply obey our parents like we did when we were kids. My mom doesn't call me and say, Ty, brush your teeth or something. Like, that's not the relationship we have. But I am still called to honor her. So then what does it look like in older children? So younger children, obedience. What does it look like in older children? Well, again, this is the part where it gets a little bit more complicated because, again, Paul doesn't give us wiggle room. He doesn't say honor if they are honorable. Honor if they have the same faith as you. He just says honor your father and mother. Again, quoting this commandment from the Old Testament, just giving a blanket statement. The nice part about him using the word tamao or honor is that it doesn't actually command us to have affection for our parents. Now, many of us do have warm, fuzzy feelings towards our parents. My prayer would be that we all would have great relationships like that. But I know that many of us do not. And so honoring, you need to know, doesn't necessarily mean that you have affection for your parents. It also doesn't mean that you have great admiration for them. Again, maybe you have a very strained relationship with them. Maybe they did everything wrong. Honoring them doesn't necessarily look like admiration. It also doesn't look like complete obedience and a lack of boundaries with them. You're not required to act the same when you were 8, when you're 48, towards your parents. So then what does honor look like for older children? Well, there's lots and lots of things it could look like. I'm gonna give us three, the first two of which might apply a little bit more readily to those of us who have more intact relationships with our families. But the third one will apply to all of us, I think, equally, even if our parents have since passed away. So the first one is this. One way to honor our parents as adults is to pay attention to our parents. Proverbs 23:22 says, "Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old." Mature honor pays attention to their parents. It doesn't always agree with them, but it does pay attention to them. I grew up across the street from a surly neighbor who was always working on his lawn and yelling at us for skateboarding. He was just that guy. It became the crabby sort of soundtrack of my youth, if you will. And he was just this old cranky dude. Now, I quickly learned, even as a kid, that I didn't have to pay him a ton of mind. I needed to be respectful still, but he wasn't my dad, right? And then when I went to college, I was not calling old Mr. Cranky for advice on life. And I wasn't inviting Mr. Cranky to my wedding. And I wasn't like calling Mr. Cranky for his thoughts on parenting later because, well, that wasn't the old man in my life that I was being commanded to honor. It was my parents that I was being commanded to honor. I don't think about old Mr. Cranky all that often. I don't really need to pay attention to him, but I do need to pay attention to the grandparents and parents that God has put in my life. I don't have to listen in a way that I'm accepting lies that are being said, but I do have to at least give heed to, consider the things that are being said. I can't just blow them off because I don't want to even consider it. I should, as a way of honoring them, pay attention to them. And again, for most of us, Lord willing, the things said by our parents, their insights, their expertise will be incredibly helpful. But again, I understand that's not true for all of us. But we should pay attention to the stories that they've told us, the lessons that they've taught, and we should weigh and consider those differently than we would for just some random cranky neighbor. So paying attention is one way to honor them. A second way to honor them is to care for our parents, to care for our parents. In 1 Timothy 5, it says, "But if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show goodness to their own household and to make some return to their parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of the Lord." And a little bit farther down in verse 8, "But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." So honoring parents means finding ways to care for them. What do they need? And then how can we care for them? Now, caring for parents might look as simple as prioritizing talking to them. Have you called your mother recently, by the way? I mean, no, actually, seriously, have you? Because most of our parents, and again, this is probably a little bit more for those of us who have intact relationships with our parents, most of our parents don't really need a ton to make them happy. They just want to talk to us every once in a while. Can you imagine if some son decided, for 1 year, I'm not going to talk to my mother, I'm going to put all of my efforts into finding the perfect Mother's Day gift. And so he just ghosted her. No text, no calls, nothing. Didn't show up in person ever, just didn't talk to his mother. But he spent hours upon hours trying to earn money to buy this perfect Mother's Day gift. And then on Mother's Day, instead of showing up and talking to her, he simply had it delivered to her house with a card that says, "From Tom" on it, or whatever his name is. Now, when she opened that gift, she would probably be happy that her son had remembered her, but she would have been much happier, my guess is, without the gift whatsoever and just some consistent sort of conversation. Because one of the ways we really can honor our parents is simply to talk to our parents and prioritize talking to them. And I know talking on the phone is awful. Trust me, I know, I don't like it either. It's like, oh man, I don't want to have any part of that. But it's so important that we spend time, whether it's in person or on the phone or whatever it is, talking to them. That honors them. Spending time with them, connected. Spending time with parents is another way to honor them. We can't know what their needs are to care for them if we've spent no time with them. If we haven't seen where they're living or the nursing care that they're receiving, we must spend real time getting to know what their needs are so that we can care for them. Another way to care for them is to pray. It's to pray for our parents. Again, some of us have very strained relationships with our parents. And yet the most loving, caring thing we can do for them would be to pray. Pray that they would be healed. Pray that the addiction in their lives would be broken. Pray that the hurts from the past could truly be forgiven. Pray just that they would be rescued and changed. It is the most caring thing we can do to pray for our parents. So how do we honor them? Well, we can honor them by paying attention to them. We can honor them by caring for them. And then lastly, we can honor our parents by letting them point us to Jesus. The single most honorable thing we can do is to become the very best child that we can. And that means becoming a child of our Heavenly Father. Some of us have come from somewhat idyllic homes. My own parents and grandparents were amazing. And yet some of us have come from absolutely tragic backgrounds. And the truth is that whether our parents were very honorable or dishonorable, the greatest way to honor them is to allow the good and the bad and the ugly of them to push us to becoming closer and closer to Jesus. There is a great God in this universe who loves you deeply, who has used even some of those extremely difficult things in your life to draw you to this moment right now. And he wants you to experience his forgiveness and his love, his fatherly care for you. He wants you to experience that. And he wants you to recognize that he has loved you your entire life. He sent Jesus to rescue you. And yes, for some of us, as we consider maybe broken relationships with our parents or parents who long ago passed away, we think, I don't know if it's possible for me to honor them. It is. It is when we allow that past, when we allow who they were or who they were not, to push us closer and closer to becoming the very children of our Heavenly Father that he wants us to be. Marshall Segal, staff writer for Desiring God, wrote this: realizing the deep and inescapable influence of our parents on us can breed at least one of two reactions: fatalistic victimhood or faith-filled vigilance. We will go on blaming our parents for whatever is wrong with us, or we will receive our weakness as opportunities to boast in the power of God. Will we crumble into resigned self-pity that our parents weren't somewhat different? Or will we receive what God has done as a unique and personal invitation to trust, follow, and honor him? We honor God when we allow the reality of the parents in our lives, whether they were good or bad, to push us into our Heavenly Father's arms. We don't honor our parents by ignoring their failings, but by allowing those failings to prompt us forward in faith. Dealing with the realities of a hard home life can be one of the most difficult obstacles to having a vibrant faith, but it can also produce some of the most beautiful fruit if it will allow us to understand exactly who God has been, even in those hard moments. Because honoring parents can be so challenging, did you notice I've kind of like glossed over the end part? There's actually a promise that's associated with this. A promise about, well, is it about long life? Again, back to Segal, the staff writer, he said, the promised land is no longer in Canaan, but in the open fields and upon the towering mountains and along the pristine shores of a new land, a new heavens, a new earth where God lives. And our souls breathe that air and taste that pleasure even now as we walk through this cursed and crumbling world in Christ. The promise here does not guarantee that if we honor our parents, that our earthly life or our relationships with them will necessarily be any easier or better. But persistently honoring fathers and mothers, especially when it is not easy or comfortable, does prove that we are miracle children, children of promise, children of heaven, chosen and precious children of our Heavenly Father. I love that. Honoring them proves we are miracle children, children of promise, children of heaven. My friends, God is at work in and through us. In this mess, He still has a mission for us. Do not curtail His work with bitterness, but let Him and even your parents shape you more and more into the likeness of Christ. So how then do you deal with your parents? Well, we deal with our parents through the power of the Holy Spirit, knowing they are not perfect, but our Heavenly Father is. We honor them by becoming more and more like Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that your word, these rules that feel like distant from our lives, like they don't apply in some way, they do. They do apply. And sometimes it's hard in our unique situations, and some of us will need to wrestle through our particular situations with other people that we know who are wiser than us and kind of outside of our situation. But would you allow us to become more and more honorable and more like Christ as a result? Pray this in His name. Amen.